And here with Ray Alder of Fate's Warning. Ray, it's great to have you on the show and talk about what Fate's Warning currently has going on.
Right now, everyone's kind of just taking a break. You know, we did the last album, Theories of Flight. It's been out now for a while, and we did a lot of touring for it, and we decided that, you know, everyone's going to take a little break for a while, and we would do a live album. You know, since we haven't done a live album in over 20 years, we figured, you know, now is the time, since we have a lot of new material. Well, it's not new anymore, but over the last 20 years, we've pulled a lot of different materials, so we decided to put it down for a live album, give the fans a little something to have in the interim while we're taking this break. And we thought it would be interesting, instead of, you know, doing one live show, to record in different cities in Europe, and which is what we did. We did 10 cities in Europe, and in 11 days, every night was around 2 hours, and we changed the set around every night, so fans will get a different thing. Because a lot of the shows, a lot of people went to the same shows, which is really crazy. So the fans here are insane. They're amazing. And they would travel to every show, which is a lot of miles. I'm sure it's expensive. But we changed the set around every night. And then the tour ended in Athens, in Greece, and we ended up doing every song that we knew, pretty much, as well as another one that we didn't even play on the tour, we learned that night. So that was about 2 hours and 40 minutes, which is about the length of the CD, double CD, double live album, actually, double live Gonzo. And then, you know, that's pretty much it. And, you know, we wanted to play different cities, and so basically every song is from a different city. That's kind of how it worked out, you know.
And, you know, let's talk about Fate's Warning and talk about the last couple records you put out, because I really like them both quite a bit, and I think they're two of the best albums that you guys have put out. And when I listen to Theories of Flight, for example, I'm still blown away by that one, and, of course, the album before it. You know, I'm blown away by both of them, actually, still.
Oh, thank you very much, first of all. Well... It's funny because I don't even begin to explain it. I sound like Ricky Ricardo. Let me explain this to you. We originally there was an Arch Mateos album, which is the old singer and the guitar player, mm-hmm. that came out 5 or 6 years ago or something, and that was originally going to be the new Fate's Warning album. And Jim sent it to me, and I was working on it. You know, that was a new Fate's album, so we were working on it together. And I honestly couldn't jive with the music. I wasn't feeling it. I think I did like 3 demos with it, and it was taking a really long time. And then Jim and I talked, and he's like, "You're not really feeling this, are you?" I said, "No, I'm not, man. I'm sorry. I'm trying, you know, but it's just not where my head is." So then he brought up the idea, "Well, you know, I'll do this with John. Is that cool?" I said, "Yeah, that's fine, you know." And so that took a couple more years off. So by the time Darkness and Different Light came out, that had been 9 years since we'd done an album. 9 years. So in the meantime, we'd been touring. You know, we've always toured. We've always done everything else. We just hadn't done a new album. So once we started writing the new album, you know, the songs that Jim was giving me, and we had talked about what we wanted to do with the new album, what style we wanted, what roads we wanted to go down, you know, then we had an idea. So once he started writing songs and we worked on those, and it made a lot more sense, and those started coming out. I prefer more of a melody, more of a catchy chorus, a hook kind of thing, you know. And, yeah, we are a prog band, but I still like to have, you know, the melody involved and you know, the structure of a song to be what it is. I don't like it to be all over the place unless that's what it's supposed to be. And I didn't want this one to be that way, especially for the first album after 9 years. So that was one thing. And, you know, and Jim and I worked really hard on it. We got, you know, we knew what we wanted to do. So you know, that was the experiment, and it worked out well for us. We're really happy with that album. Mm-hmm. And then when we started to do Theories, it was kind of the same thing. We talked about where we wanted to go, and maybe a little darker tone, that maybe a little heavier here and there, but staying with the same melody. So those worked out as well, you know. So we worked almost a year on that album, writing and getting everything perfect for it. And, you know, in the end, we were so used to it, we didn't know, you know, to us it sounded pretty cool. We just didn't know what other people would think, you know, and the response was great from the Theories of Flight album. We were really, really happy with the response. We didn't expect the response that we got. So, you know, and it led to a lot of tours. We toured a lot. We did a lot of touring for these last two albums. And it's great, you know, and just to breathe some life back into the band, you know, cause after playing the same songs for 9 years, it was these last 4 years or so, I've been just amazing to play new material. It's so much fun, you know, you see it in everybody in the band, Joey and Bobby and all of us.
Right.
Just playing new music, it's a blast. It is.
Now, before your last couple albums, you guys really weren't doing very much as a band. And, you know, did the time away really help you out? Did it help you really kind of recharge your batteries a little bit and come out with two pretty good records? Because, you know, sometimes when bands are gone and not really that active over a course of time, they get a chance to kind of step away for a bit. But then when they come back, quite a few times they put out a very good album. And I think you guys have really accomplished that. And did the time away, did that help that process a little bit for you?
Maybe. It may have. I would like to think that it did. But also, you know, it's, music has changed. Music changes so fast, especially in America. You know, it's the next thing, this next thing, that next thing, and people move on. So for us, you know, to be a band that's been around for 30-plus years, to make a new album and have it received as well as it was a shock in the best way, you know. And, you know, we're not trying to copy anybody. You know, we're just being ourselves. And it worked out for us, you know. Again, you never know what people are going to think. Maybe they think, you know, oh, that's not them anymore. Or, you know, they don't sound like they used to. But then again, if you ever listen to our band, we always change. We never, you know, it's like, and for instance, no disrespect whatsoever to like Iron Maiden, but Iron Maiden's albums, they all sound exactly the same. And but the fans like that. They're totally into that, you know. That's fine. I like Iron Maiden. I mean, if they came out with something different, I'd be shocked. You know, they're gonna come out with seven strings and shit. Then what? No. But you're used to that. You know what I mean? But I believe that our fans are used to us changing all the time. You know, and we, you know, as musicians or artists, if some people say that. You know, I feel that we would stagnate if we just kept doing the same thing over and over again. And yes, we have lost a lot of fans, but we've gained a lot of new ones as well. And I think, you know, we have some of the best fans in the world that have stuck with us over all these years. But I think it's important for all of us to keep it interesting. You know, if it's not interesting, then you're just going to walk away, you know, give up and do something else. But for us, you know, just to change things up a bit, it's always it's a new view. You know, it's like you open another chapter. So that's how I feel.
Well, you talk about the expectations of Iron Maiden sounding the same. You know, I would say that Fate's Warning, the expectations of the fans are that you guys don't sound the same, you know, as far as, you know, what you're writing, because you're a progressive metal band and you guys are expected to put a lot of elements into your music.
That's what I would think, you know. Maybe that, you know, you'd have the same fans, you know, but it's like you're having pizza every day. Every now and then you want some sushi or something, you know, something different.
Right.
And I think it's a little different. Yeah, I think it's good for us, again, because it keeps it interesting for us. And then, you know, once you're in the studio or whatever, when you're recording, like, you know, and you're liking it.
Right.
You know, other than going, we're going to do this thing again, we're doing this thing again, you know, like, you know, for us, it's exciting. It's
right.
Nice. So hopefully we can keep doing it for a while.
Now I'm going to go back about 20 years here, Ray, and when I first really listened to Fate's Warning, The Pleasant Shade of Grey was an album sent to me that had come out at the time, and I really didn't care for it too much. And then, you know, about 7 or 8 years later, I came back and listened to it again, and, you know, something clicked with me. That album really now resonates quite a bit with me, and I really love that album. And even after all this time, I still think it's one of the best albums you guys have put out.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I get asked quite often, you know, what's your favorite Fates Warning album? And I think they ask Jim the same question. And we both always say, you know, I say Pleasant Shade of Grey. It's probably my favorite album because there was, it was a weird time for us as a band because, you know, we had done other things, and Parallels, which we had done in 91, was our biggest album ever. It was, you know, super catchy songs, and I love that album. It's a great album. But, you know, we couldn't continue going down that path at that point of doing the same thing again, trying to rehash that the glory days of that big selling album and keep doing the same kind of thing. And, you know, radio wasn't playing us, so we didn't, you know, at that point, we were just like, let's just do whatever we want. We're going to make an album for ourselves. That's it. You know what I mean? Right. Like, not, but, you know, our fans will stick with us if they like it. But at this point, we're going to make an album for ourselves. That's it. We're not going to make anything for radio. We're not going to make a single. We're not going to do whatever. And a really dark album, you know, with keyboards. I'm glad we had Kevin on board for that because he did a great job. But that's basically what it was. You know, we're going to do a music album for us, for ourselves. And to this day, it's my favorite album because, you know, it's 51 minutes long. And, you know, there's all these different parts in it. And we love playing those live. Even now. We play parts from A Pleasant Shade of Grey almost every tour, and it's still fun. It's still a great time, you know. I wish we'd go out and play the whole thing. It would be a blast, but I don't think Mark Zonder wanted to do it. We brought it up to Mark before, and he didn't want to do it. So I don't think it would be the same without Zonder.
Right.
Honestly, but that's it. That's basically it. It was an album for us, by us, and FUBU. And it was cool, and to this day, again, it's my favorite album we've ever done, honestly.
Now, when I look at Fates Warning, I put you in that category with Queensryche and Dream Theater as being one of the most influential, if not the most influential band in progressive metal. And do you guys put yourselves into that category? Because obviously you sound different than those two bands, but you helped shape a lot of this progressive stuff that has come out over the years.
No. I mean, even to this day, we still don't really. I mean, we hear it sometimes, but I don't know. I mean, I know there's some people out there that like us. But, I mean, no, not at all. It was nice to be lumped into that category with two great bands, Queensryche and Dream Theater. It always is, you know. But when we did that tour with them, it was so much fun, man. The three of us on tour was like, it was awesome. I wish we could have come to Europe, you know, but it didn't happen. But but that was a great time. It was an absolute great time. But again, it's an honor to be lumped in with those great bands. But as far as influencing other bands, I mean, again, another honor. It really is. I hope I hope we've done some good for the world,
right?
Somehow to some people.
Now you talked a little bit about having, you know, not having a lot of time available, and. You know, because Fates Warning is touring and doing a lot of stuff. And I know you left Redemption. I know you really liked that band, and you and Nick are friends. And was the lack of time the reason you left? And maybe talk a bit about that.
That's exactly it, actually. It was exactly what happened. I mean, once we did Darkness, you know, then the touring began, and it was a blast. And again, we went out playing new material. It was so great to actually play some new stuff, and that continued down the road. And I think that led to the, you know, the enjoyment of actually going out and playing new things led to like, let's do another album, let's do it now, you know, while the iron's hot, I guess, as they say. And so, you know, and then the touring with that album, and then, you know, I feel badly for my friend Nick. You know, he just signed to Metal Blade. He was so happy about it, but at the moment I just didn't have the time. You know, I was concentrating on Fates and writing, and you know, we were going to tour again, and I didn't want to upset the schedule, you know, because I would be another problem, because, you know, Joey has Armored Saint, Bobby has different things going on as well, and if I'm just another guy like, oh, well, I don't have, you know, I'm busy these days, then the whole thing would just fail, you know, at that point. You can't, it's four different guys, and we would never be able to be on tour, you know. So I basically sacrificed myself to be available for Fates Warning the whole time, you know, and
right.
that's basically what happened, you know. It sucks. So I had a lot of fun with Redemption. I had a lot of fun with the guys, and Nick was one of my best friends in the world, you know. And, but it's just how that worked out.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because your body of work with Redemption was great. You really meshed really well with Nick's songwriting, and I really thought what you did with them was great. And obviously, they have a new singer right now, but I always really liked you in that band, and I thought that you and Nick had a great, great musical chemistry together.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, it was fun. Again, Nick and I worked really well together, and I enjoyed what we did together. You know, I did. I had a lot of fun. But like I said, at the moment, I had to make a choice, and that's the choice I made. So,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, I look at a couple turning points that you have going on with the band, Ray. You know, first thing is you joining the band was a big turning point for them musically. Because they started going and evolving in a different direction, obviously with your vocals as well. And then when Darkness in a Different Light came out, because really Fate's Warning hadn't been doing very much, but you know that album really sounded great, and so does Theories of Flight. And I really think that you guys have hit another great turning point in the career for this band.
I mean, I agree. I think being back to, not that we were ever apart, but being back together as a writing band, it just breathed life back into us, you know, like being very excited about doing something new. I can't really explain it, but it's just a feeling of, you know, working and like waking up in the morning and going, all right, you know, turning everything on and I'm going to start working on melodies. And, you know, by the end of the day, you're excited about something. And, you know, it was a really great feeling for me. And I Jim as well. I can't speak for him, but mm-hmm. We were very happy with everything, you know. But like, you know, In Parallels was an odd album because that was the one album we were all together. We've never done that before, except for Parallels being in the same city mm-hmm. for 6 months in Toronto writing that album. But now it's different. You know, everyone lives in different places, and that's how we work. So, but it's still exciting to work on new things always.
Now you have some time off, and you have this live record. Are you guys going to be writing any new music, and has anybody written any new music for another Fate's Warning album?
At the moment, no. Everyone's kind of doing their own thing right now, taking a break. That's one reason why we did this live album, basically to give the fans something, hold them over while we decide what we're doing, I guess.
Do you have any good memories about playing here in Cleveland there, Ray?
I just know we do the Spinal Tap thing every time we play there. Hello, Cleveland, like everybody else does. You know, that's pretty much it. I don't know. I honestly can't remember. It's been a while now since we toured the U.S. I can't remember.
Right.
But no, I mean, Cleveland's a rock and roll city. Come on. I really don't remember, though. I'm sorry.
Now, you guys were with Metal Blade for a long time, then obviously left. And why'd you stick with Metal Blade for so long? And then why did you guys end up leaving them? To put out these last couple records?
Well, it's just like a family, you know. We've been with them forever. I know Brian. I've known Brian forever. He's like one of my really good friends, and you know, we hung out together all the time in LA, like when I lived there. And it's just one of those relationships that worked well for everybody. And then, you know, when we did Darkness in a Different Light, I honestly don't know exactly what happened. I think Jim went to Brian and said, you know, at that point we were free agents. Our contract had expired and we fulfilled our obligations, and at that point Jim said, you know, we're thinking of writing a new album, what do you think? And at that point, I don't know what happened. I really don't. I just, you know, Jim and I never really discussed that whole thing, and then he came back to me and said, I think we're going to sign with Inside Out. And I was like, okay, why? And he's like, whatever, it's just whatever. So okay, so we signed with Inside Out, and I guess Brian wasn't very happy about it. We never really talked about it, Brian and I, really. I don't know. I really don't know what happened. You know, it was one of those things that Brian said, you know, like, when I talked to Brian about it, he was like, yeah, it was a surprise to him as well. He said, Jim never asked him for a counter offer or anything. He just kind of, okay, well, we're going to go Inside Out. So Brian was a little shocked by that, too. Mm-hmm. So the last couple of albums have been on Inside Out, and we signed Inside Out for a 2-album deal, and that's done now. So again, we're free agents. We're without a label, so if we want to do another album, then we'll start looking for a label. But I would imagine if we ever were to do another album, it would be on Metal Blade.
Any last words for the fans that are going to be checking out this interview?
Thank you so much. After all these years, thank you for listening to this interview, and thanks for being fans of us for so long. I know it's been a long time, and you know, we try try to do the best music we can, and you know, as for myself, I don't see myself quitting anytime soon. I like to keep going as long as I can. Hopefully fans will still be there around that time. But thank you for around for so long.